It's time for you to be a part of the show. Email or call with questions for Dr. Mike now. Email ask Dr. Mike Smith at radiomd.com or call 877-711-5211. What are you waiting for? The doctor is in.
So, you know, you can email me right now. And if the question, if I catch it, I can read it online. As a matter of fact, my producer, Sheldon Baker, sent an email to ask Dr. Mike Smith at radiomd.com, and it just came through. He's referencing tart cherries. I've mentioned several times before about tart cherry extract being so good for inflammation and pain, muscle pain, neuropathic pain. I've had successful experiences with using tart cherry extract for diabetic pain. I mean, I'm not saying it gets rid of it completely, but it manages it. It's better. And anyway, so Sheldon is asking me, is it common or easy to find tart cherries in Whole Foods? You know, I always just use the extract. I don't know. There's so many different types of cherries. So I don't know. I think the specific variety of tart cherry is not as common as some of the other varieties that you might find in the store. But if you have a different answer and you want to help me out, let me know. Teach me something about tart cherries and how common they are in places like Whole Foods. Ask Dr. Mike Smith at radiomd.com. Okay. I read a report that Alzheimer's might be an immune problem. Can you shed some light on this theory? Oh, love it. You know, so again, I'm pretty, for a general practitioner, general doctor, I'm pretty up to date on Alzheimer's because I work for a foundation where we've really focused a lot on, mild cognitive impairment, dementias like Alzheimer's. So, and I've done several lectures throughout the country on the latest theories of Alzheimer's. Matter of fact, last year I was at Nova University here in South Florida speaking to their pharmacy school about some of the latest theories. So yeah, I am familiar a lot with what's going on in Alzheimer's research. And this one's really interesting. So to answer the question, could Alzheimer be an immune problem? Well, let me answer that by saying, first of all, no. Because again, Alzheimer's is like all age-related type disorders, whether it's in the brain, heart, whatever, they're multifactorial. And there's probably many things going on. Oxidative stress, inflammation, which could be all stimulated by toxins and just age itself. I mean, there's lots of things going on. There is some research. So to say Alzheimer's is caused by this one thing or Alzheimer's is this, I would never say that. It's too complicated. But there is some really interesting research that's starting to reveal a little bit of an immune and infectious disease component to Alzheimer's. So let me explain. On one hand, we know that the basic characteristics of Alzheimer's pathology is these abnormal protein deposits that happen outside of the brain cells, kind of in what's kind of called the intracellular space. So you have your brain, right? It's made up of a bunch of brain cells. And these brain cells connect to each other. Those are kind of like the information highways. As a matter of fact, how brain cells connect to each other is extremely important. Maybe even more so important than the brain cell itself. It's how it touches other brain cells and forms pathways. And what happens in Alzheimer's disease, for probably a variety of reasons, there is this abnormal protein that is formed that is then pushed outside of the brain cell, and it starts to clump in this intracellular space in that area where the brain cell is trying to connect to other brain cells. So it disrupts the highways. These abnormal protein deposits, the classic one is amyloid. There's also tau protein. But these clumps of protein kind of disrupt the information highway, one brain cell connecting to another. Now, it turns out that we all might develop these kind of abnormal protein deposits at time. Even in a young, healthy person, they might actually have an abnormal protein deposit once in a while. But the body is able to recognize it as something that's wrong. The body then activates these brain macrophages, which are a type of an immune cell that can grab onto those clumps and literally eat it up. That's what macrophages do. Macrophages will engulf bacteria, viruses, whatever, anything that's not you or that's abnormal or that's getting in the way. The immune system has a type of cell called a macrophage that can go in there and just gobble it up. And that's so, and we have specific macrophages that live in the brain that are there, we believe now, to clean up the intracellular space, because that intracellular space is so important to how one brain cell communicates with another. And so the theory is that since in an Alzheimer's patient, there's this accumulation of these abnormal protein deposits, that maybe those brain macrophages aren't working as well. Maybe there is a component of Alzheimer's disease that is an immunodeficiency. Now, again, Alzheimer's is multifactorial. Having an immunodeficiency does not explain why those protein deposits are forming in the first place. But we are recognizing that it may happen even in healthy young people, but they have activated macrophages to eat it up. Alzheimer's patients don't. So yes, on one level, I'm going to answer the question, is Alzheimer's an immune problem? No, it's multifactorial. Is there an immunodeficiency with macrophages that might allow progression of disease? Yes. You see how I did that? So that's interesting. And that's why I think we're really here at Life Extension, we're interested in curcumin so much. Curcumin does cross the blood. That's from the turmeric spice. It's the key compound. It's the anti-inflammatory compound. It's an antioxidant. It's just awesome for you. It crosses the blood-brain barrier, and it is able to clump onto or attach to the abnormal amyloid proteins and tau proteins and the intracellular space. And once that happens, then that seems to be something those inactive macrophages can recognize and now activate. So there's some evidence that curcumin can reactivate brain macrophages in Alzheimer's patients and start to eat up some of those abnormal protein deposits. Very, very interesting research. There's another component, another side to this too. It's just an association. It's kind of interesting, although there was one research paper that said it was actually a cause-effect, which is really interesting. Alzheimer's patients have a high level of spirochetes in their brain. It's an infection. It's a bacteria. It's the same bacteria that causes Lyme disease. Spirochetes. They checked nasal passages, sinal passages, cerebral spinal fluid, and it's across the board in all these different studies. Alzheimer's patients have significant levels of spirochetes in their brain and sinuses. You really should have none. Healthy controls have none. But Alzheimer's patients have significant levels of these spirochetes. So again, it's multifactorial. You got these macrophages that aren't working really well. You have oxidative stress. You have inflammation. And then all of that kind of depresses the brain immune system in a sense and allows something like a spirochete to kind of latch on and get into the brain and cause problems and raise inflammation more. See how it all kind of comes together. So interesting research with an immunodeficiency of those macrophages, curcumin reactivating those macrophages, and then of course spirochete infections. Maybe early on Alzheimer's patients should be treated for spirochete infection. That's where a lot of this research is going. So great question. That went a lot longer than I thought I was going to answer, but it's stuff that I'm really up to date on and enjoy researching. So yeah, check that out. Macrophages, curcumin, and spirochetes in Alzheimer's patients. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.